and they were working to put together their claim and get it in. Their intentions were to get it in that day. And I know they were working. I know they got it to the post office in conversations with them. But for whatever reason, they probably got it in later in the afternoon to where it was postmarked the next business day. So when we received it, it was postmarked one date late. It was the 19th. So on that one, we sent them the letter letting them know that they should ask to have their claim accepted as a late filed. Staff supports it being accepted as a late filed claim. So,
thank you, and go ahead into the next one also.
Okay, and with the Nagel one, we when we did our audit, the tickets were split between Jason Nagel and Gary Nagel. Gary is the father, Jason is the son. They farm together. And we've received one claim form from Jason Nagel for the full amount of the claim on those split tickets. So when we, and we received it well within the deadline, but we sent them a letter explaining that though their claim matched, but our findings were that we would need an assignment from Gary Nagel to authorize Jason to make the claim for the full amount. And we reviewed it. Ms. Edwards has reviewed the affidavit that we received, and I don't know if she has any comments, but it all looked just what we needed to receive. So we would also recommend that that one be accepted.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Is there anyone else to testify on this docket? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in Grain Warehouse 12-002 that the commission approve the request from Cindy and Alan Beigler to have their late filed claim included in the bond proceeds distribution process, and that the commission recognize the assignment of claim from Gary Nagel to allow Jason Nagel to claim the full amount on his proof of claim form. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feakin.
Feakin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Telecommunications CC 12-133 in the matter of the petition of Mid-State Telecom for approval of its cost-based switched access rates and for a phase-in. We left the last meeting with a substitute motion on the table. The substitute motion was to grant Mid-State a waiver of the six-month requirement. And so that's where we are at. I think at this point we will take, if there's any additional testimony on that issue, we'll deal with that first before we go to the addendum item. Go ahead.
Just briefly, Margo Northrup on behalf of Mid-State Telecom. I also have Marlene Bennett and Dan Caldwell on the phone. We're here to request a waiver of ARSC 2010-2814, which would, in essence, allow Mid-State Telecom to use the cost study that's on file. I'm not going to rehash anything. I just kind of wanted to give the commission an update of what we've done in the last couple of weeks. We continue to believe that the current cost study will allow the commission to make a proper determination in this case. We've worked with our consultants and talked to our consultants, and we believe that we can provide staff additional information and answer their questions. I think what we were trying to portray at the last meeting is that there's two or three things that drive a cost study. Those are the minutes of use, the net investment to plant, and expenses. We believe, and our consultants have told us, that we will be able to provide staff and AT&T with that updated information in those categories, which should allow us to answer staff's questions and also to demonstrate that a new cost study is not going to affect the outcome of the docket. We have further offered to bring our consultants in to meet with staff and AT&T in the near future to discuss the cost study with the hope of finding some common ground. We believe that the current cost study and the current analysis that's done by the expert will allow us to move forward on this docket. I just wanted to briefly address the concern about whether or not this is precedent setting, and Mid-State does not believe so. It's hard to imagine a set of facts that would be analogous to this case based on the FCC order that capped the rate. We don't believe that any decision that you make here is going to be a precedent setting for a future case. And so accordingly, we're asking that the waiver be granted.
Thank you. AT&T?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp on behalf of AT&T. I think that the conversations that I've had with Margo's associate, Darla Rogers, and with Karen help address some of my bigger fears with the waiver. Without speaking towards a precedental value, the question that I have, and hopefully her statements here today and our conversations yesterday go to address how we get that information. We are taking a 2010 cost study with the data from 2010 and basically starting over, as I see it, with these addendums or with this additional information. And I just want to make it clear that the concern we had was the burden being shifted to staff and by extension to us as an intervening party to go out and discover the information that would be included in an up-to-date cost study. And we can do things as we see fit to do them, but the work needed to be started with Midstate. They needed to make a current filing, and if they will step forward and provide that information as described, I think that goes to allay some of our concerns, precedent issue aside. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that that comment. Staff.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and again, I understand Midstate's position, but staff would reiterate that we absolutely believe that the use of this outdated cost study shifts the burden from the applicant to staff, and it becomes our staff, our job, as AT&T pointed out, to ferret out all those adjustments through a great deal of work. The enormity of the task of maintaining the fundamental rate-making principle of matching through numerous adjustments when using an outdated test year compared to using a current test year is truly unduly burdensome, and we do stand by that. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Do any of the consortia folks have anything to add, or simply, if not,
Dan Caldwell, Commissioner. The only thing that I think additionally I would put on the table at this point is a reminder that the task at hand here, unlike historical cost studies where you're trying to come up with a finite rate that's going to be charged to consumers of those services. In this case, the maximum rate has already been set, if you will, by the FCC through their order. So instead of trying to go through a litany of adjustments to come up with a finite rate, the task at hand here is really determining whether the rate after adjustments is above or below the 11.5-cent capped rate. We believe the study that we have in front of you, we can easily demonstrate that with the adjustments that we believe will be suggested, the resulting rate would still be well above the 11.5-cent rate, and therefore we don't find the task to be as burdensome as staff. Having said that, we certainly look forward to having conversations with them and making that determination jointly. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Seeing none, at this point, we have a substitute motion on the table to grant the waiver for ARSD 20:10:28:14. Thank you. Discussion on the substitute motion to grant the waiver. Commissioner Hansen.
If I could, how would that in any event affect an order to comply? Are the two totally detached?
I would view them as mutually exclusive.
Okay. I'm asking because I recognize Rolaine as being far more knowledgeable on the nuances in this than I, and I was. I'm in favor of a motion to comply, so I just wanted to know whether or not. if they are mutually exclusive, then I would have to support a motion to comply instead.
Right. By granting the waiver, you essentially would be denying staff's motion to dismiss or an alternative, its order to comply.
All right. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the substitute motion to grant the waiver will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The waiver is granted. And we do look forward to Mid-State to being as cooperative as possible and getting the information as quickly as possible and not making it a burdensome process for staff or AT&T as we work through this. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to the question on the addendum, which in the same docket, pursuant to SDCL 49-31-12.4, shall the commission suspend the tariff? And this is a motion from staff, so I will turn to Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. As noted in our letter, Mid-State's position is that the revised tariff that they filed, I believe it was November 15, will become effective on December 15, 2012. Therefore, staff requests that the commission suspend the operation of the tariff and the use of the rate or practice. Staff requests suspension pursuant to SDCL 49-31-12.4 for an initial 120 days. Thank you.
Mid-State.
Yes, Mid-State Telecom does not intend to object to that request. However, we just want to let everyone know that we really want to move this forward and get a rate set in place as soon as we can, but we understand that we need that 120 days to get there.
Thank you. AT&T.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. AT&T supports the statements of Ms. Northrop and Ms. Kramer.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 12-184, I move that the commission grant intervention to the parties.
Not intervention.
Excuse me.
This is the suspension.
Suspension of the tariff. Pursuant to SDCL 49-31-12.4.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to TC 12-184 in the matter of the application of Common Point LLC for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange service in South Dakota. And the question being, shall the commission grant intervention to any of the parties that have requested it? And that would include SDTA and SDN. Mr. Coit.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff, Richard Coit with SDTA. We filed a petition to intervene in this process a couple of weeks back. We filed that petition because based on the application that is filed, there's a need for some further clarity with respect to the area in which the company intends to provide services in South Dakota. There's also some need for some further clarity, I think, with respect to the scope of services that they would actually be authorized to provide. They are indicating in their application that the services that they're requesting authority for would be switched access type services, local exchange access, and local tandeming type services. And have also indicated that they don't intend to provide any dial tone services to end user customers. Given all of that, we do think that there is probably a way that we could resolve any issues that we might have with respect to application of the rural safeguards. We had a case similar to this, I think, back in 2010, involving a company by the name of Neutral Tandem, and both SDN and SDTA were able to reach a stipulation that ended up resolving any differences that we had at that time with Neutral Tandem. I've had some initial discussions with an individual Common Point, and I'm pretty confident that we're going to be able to resolve the differences that we have and concerns that we have at this point. And with that, we would request intervention in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. SDN.
Good morning. Margo Northrup on behalf of South Dakota Network LLC. Just reiterate what Rich would say. You know, we believe that based on the application, there are some questions, but that there is an argument that they would be competing directly with some of the services that SDN provides. We've had some initial discussions with Common Point about the neutral tandem docket and some of the language that got in that order, and I'm hopeful that within relatively short order, we can come up with some sort of language on those issues, and we'll continue to work towards that. Thank you.
Thank you. Common Point.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Kara Semler. I'm here today on behalf of Common Point LLC. Common Point LLC does not object to the request for intervention and appreciates that there are some questions regarding the types of services they will be offering, and agrees and is as confident as Mr. Coit is that we can resolve them.
Very good. You're off to a good start here. Staff.
Thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff has no objection to the interventions.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
In TC 12-184, move that the commission grant intervention to the parties that have filed.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Intervention is granted. TC 12-185, in the matter of the filing of Common Point LLC for approval of its access services tariff number one, request for intervention from AT&T, Mr. Van Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp again on behalf of AT&T Corp. AT&T has intervened in the filing of the tariff by Common Point. We have some concerns generally about the language of the tariff and how it's being applied in other jurisdictions and whether or not the application of those terms and conditions will carry through to this state. We also did request that the tariff is suspended. I was just noted that that is not actually on the list of action items today for the commission, and maybe I'm putting the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken in the commission's opinion, but I still want to at least discuss that with staff before the next commission meeting, whether or not the tariff by rule and law goes into effect even without a COA. I understand that the COA issue might get resolved by the parties here today, and that's fine, but we still need to look at the tariff language and would request intervention in this status, and we'll be back on the suspension issue when it's noticed properly.
Very good. Thank you. Common Point.
Thank you. Kara Semler again for Common Point. Again, we do not object to this intervention by AT&T and understand that Common Point and AT&T are working through some of these issues in other states, and we look forward to working with them in South Dakota to resolve the issues with their tariff here as well. As far as the suspension goes, Common Point does not intend to put its tariff into effect within the next 2 weeks. In the next 2 weeks, however, we'd like to continue to work with AT&T to either resolve issues, or if we cannot resolve issues, to come to staff with a procedural schedule, and in 2 weeks at your next meeting, if things aren't resolved, I hope we've agreed to a schedule with staff, and you could look at the suspension issue at that time.
Very good. Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff has no objection to the interventions. As far as the suspension issue, we didn't ask for it to be put on the schedule for today. It seems somewhat premature to entertain the request for the suspension until the intervention was either granted or denied. So, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC 12-185 that the commission grant intervention to AT&T. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to the end of our agenda. A few announcements. A hearing in docket EL 11006 will be held on December 5th and 6th. Commissioners and staff will meet with representatives of South Dakota Electric Utility Companies on December 6th. Commissioners and staff will attend South Dakota Telecommunications Association, PUC, biannual forum on December 10th and 11th. Hearing on docket ELL 12-046 will be held on December 13th and 14th. And our next regular meeting is December 18th. We've got a busy couple of weeks coming up. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.